folks. You're listening to
Stinkler!
Of Stick Work with Fab and Cats. I'm Fab.
I'm Cats.
We're going to have a very interesting show for you guys today.
It's a little on the shorter side, but the content itself will more than make up for the lack of length.
Yeah, that's it. Length. A lot of substance. Less is more in this case.
Yeah.
We also have our Tyrannosaurus Rex. I've chosen mine. You chosen yours?
Not quite yet, Fab.
Okay, we're going to get to that eventually. But you know what? Let's get right into it. You wrote a very interesting blog entitled, This Season, Winning Means Nothing. Do you know how many of the Leaf fans are probably pissed at you right now?
I can probably take a good guess.
Here's your opportunity. You got the forum now with the podcast. Explain what you meant by that.
Well, let's just make sure that everybody understands what I'm talking about. I'm not devaluing a win. I'm not devaluing what a win entails for a club moving forward. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is that ultimately, regardless of how this season plays out, whether they don't make the playoffs, whether they end up in the spot that they're at right now, or whether they go three rounds deep, winning at this point in time doesn't mean anything.
Okay, so what is your reasoning behind that?
Well, I'm kind of looking at it from the perspective of what actually happened back when even John Ferguson Jr. was the general manager here. The Leafs knew something had to change, and it did. It changed with the firing of Ferguson, the implementation of the Silver Fox. Fletcher came in, did whatever he had to do in a transition year, which was the last season. This season, I think, is very similar to last season, only in that it's still a transitional phase. There's two things going on that really don't matter whether or not the Leafs win. It's the restructuring in the background, changing the way management works. Mm-hmm. It's the way that free agents, other players, other prospective agents of representing those players perceive the organization. It's the way that the Maple Leafs, the Toronto Maple Leafs, are projecting themselves through to the rest of the league.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So it comes down to the perception itself. Regardless of the development of the talent in this case, you're basically referring to how can the dynamic of this organization, now that it's changed, draw other high-priced free agents in or draw possible prospects in. Is that correct?
As well as retain and develop their own prospects, because development is the biggest issue moving forward in Toronto. You are trying to do a rebuild, retool, call it whatever you will. You're only going to be able to do that if you're able to retain and properly develop your prospects and create an environment that will allow for free agents to want to wear that leaf on their chest. There's a second transitional phase that is included in this season. That phase is on the ice, and you saw it from last season. You're seeing it with the style of game the Leafs are playing. It's not a matter of who's playing, it's just a matter of how they're playing. Up-tempo, hard forechecking, lots of shots, get to the net. The problem with this team is they lack finish. So you're looking at these two separate parts, and you see that they can coexist, but it means that the ultimate goal of winning games, playoff series, whatever, this season is devalued. It's kind of diminished.
Okay. So this more or less with the style of play that Toronto has implemented under the Ron Wilson regime, would you think that this would entice players to come because it's such an exciting style of hockey to play?
I think that it really doesn't matter. I don't think it's the style of play. Although, you know, to your point, and I think of some of the old New Jersey Devil trapping teams and the Minnesota Wild, and yeah, maybe that might have a little bit of an effect on players, and especially if they wanted to sign there. However, at the same time, Toronto should be a team where players are lining up in which to wear the jersey, and they weren't doing that. And they simply weren't. Burke and Wilson and the rest of the team and everybody else in that organization had to turn it around, and that's what they've done. And now moving forward, they have the opportunity to put together the foundation that will become, hopefully, a championship club.
Let's move forward along the same lines of the blog that you wrote regarding the playoffs. At the beginning of the season, you and I had discussed that this team was going to be a bubble team. But now it seems like that might not even be a possibility.
Well, I think all of these tie into exactly that specific idea of not being a playoff team any longer. First, you're right, and we have discussed this on and off the air. The Leafs were always just a bubble team. They were going to be in the mix up until a certain point. Who knows? Maybe they would have had a little bit of luck or whatever the case was. You know, other teams with injuries could have put themselves in a more difficult position. Bottom line here was the Leafs were supposed to compete for a run at a playoff spot. The spot itself wasn't the be-all, end-all result. It was the run up until that. Going into the playoffs this season means nothing. I mean, ultimately, is this the team that you're going to see that's going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals?
Oh, no, there are going to be plenty of changes, guaranteed.
Is this the team that you would want to go into the playoffs with?
Not really, no.
As a Leafs fan, do you think that this team, in any way, shape, or form, by making the playoffs, satisfies your specific need for a championship team?
No, it doesn't satisfy my specific need. What it does satisfy is the pocketbook of MLSE. Those extra playoff games are revenue in their pockets. That's all. You know what? Maybe, as a staunch Leaf fan, I'm saying this because I'm frustrated, like every other Leaf fan, 42 years of futility, and the notion has always been that MLSE only cares about putting asses in seats and making a profit. Maybe now with Burke in the picture, a guy who has a winning mentality, who's been down that road before, maybe now everything changes completely. They do a complete 180, and all of a sudden we start seeing a contender. With this season, like you said, it's more or less a write-off. At this point, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, I don't know about that, Fab. You don't know about that either. Mm-hmm. It's a good assumption to make. I mean, look at what's going down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at a team that struggled out of the gate. They're still pretty much in the thick of things. They need to make a best use of all the games that they have left, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not just about making the playoffs. It's about competing. It's about putting together, in my eyes, the type of system that you're going to be using moving forward rather than making the playoffs. I don't really care whether they make the playoffs or not.
Right.
I don't even care whether they win a round if they make the playoffs. I don't really care whether they end up as a lottery.
We know that there are two guys in particular that are battling right now, two OHL kids battling for that number one spot, and Taylor Hall from Windsor and Tyler Seguin from Plymouth. How much has that Kessel deal affected anything as far as them getting that first pick overall?
Well, I've discussed this before, and we've discussed this before. I've always considered the price paid to obtain Kessel being on par with what you would pay for a young star like him.
Mm-hmm.
People throw around that word franchise all the time, and you know, it, to different people has a different definition.
And let's remember that Alexander Daigle was supposed to be a franchise player for Ottawa, and, well, we saw what happened to him.
Exactly. But at the same time, too, one of the biggest proponents to get the Senators into the finals was Daniel Alfredsson, who was their franchise player. But without Danny Heatley scoring, they don't make it there. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't considered franchise, but he is just as important to the scoring of a team than their defensive forwards, their defensive defensemen, premier goalie. You have to have these parts in order to become a successful club. So we look at the Kessel trade, and especially when the Leafs were struggling, they were looking at it going, fans were struggling and with the hands in the air and eyes in the air, hoping that something would happen and some miracle would fall out from the sky and reverse the Kessel
trade.
There's
no such thing as divine intervention. There really isn't.
But this was a difficult point. Everybody kept... Well, by saying everybody, people that I spoke to would keep telling me, well, why would they make that deal? Why would they make that deal? Why would they make that deal? I don't have a problem with what they paid for. In fact, even if it ends up being a Taylor Hall or a Tyler Seguin, so be it. I don't believe that the Leafs are a lottery team. They simply don't have those type of characteristics. Mm-hmm. And you notice it in the work ethic and the effort that they've put in. They may still be losing games, but they're putting in that work ethic, and they're maintaining that work ethic.
Yep, that's true. It's just a matter of the goaltending really getting it together when it has to be together. Right now, it's inconsistent.
At best.
So, once that is settled, then we're going to start seeing all the pieces of the puzzle being put into place.
That's right.
You're going to see the defense. The defense has been playing better. In the past month and a half, I've been really impressed with Beauchemin. A lot of people I know have said, you know what? This guy's not worth the money. This guy's crap. But the truth of the matter is he had to get used to the system. He had to get used to playing in a different surrounding. And let's face it, Toronto is... It's like a cauldron, for crying out loud. Okay? You have to deal with all this pressure on a consistent basis.
I've watched both Taylor Hall and Tyler Seguin, and they are impressive. Mm-hmm. They are impressive specimens. They are projects. They are not likely to be 30-plus goal scorers in their first season, maybe not in their second season. They're definitely going to have an impact with the team, but the impact that they have will be similar to what Kessel brings to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with what they paid for. I don't have a problem with the way that everything's kind of gone down so far this season. But my whole point, and what you first alluded to by pissing people off, was that winning doesn't mean anything. In the grand scheme of things, in the long-term view, this season means absolutely nothing. It's just strictly a transitional phase from one to the other. With expiring contracts at the end of the season, you're going to see a different team. Maybe not that different, but different. It's going to be youthful. It's going to be with all the kids that you're going to be seeing down in the Marlies that you could see right now. For those expecting to see the kids come up playing from the Marlies, looking at them to be the saviors, or I mean, not even saviors, but those... Some people would rather expect to see kids playing in this role rather than whatever is in the NHL right now. And then, at the same time, what they do want to do is bury the contracts that they have at the NHL level here in Toronto down to the Marlies. Two problems with that. First, these kids got to learn how to be pros. I've mentioned that in the blog, and I think it's fairly evident that it's difficult to jump from junior to the NHL. It might be easier to do so from junior simply because you play that many games. Imagine how much harder it must be from the college level for some of these guys. So learning to be a pro is, first and foremost, the biggest issue for all of these prospects. Christian Hansen got a very good look. He got that look because he was rewarded for sticking to his developmental plan, for listening to his coaches, for listening to the organization. I don't project him to be a big scorer, but I do like the entire package. Size, grit, physical intensity, a competitive fire. He's got it all, mm-hmm. except for a dynamic scoring touch. Even if he never ends up being a big scorer, having a little bit of a touch that he's developing right now is only going to be beneficial on his part.
Sure.
Going the opposite way, demoting. People keep telling me to demote Jason Blake. Bury his contract. They don't need him. What kind of a message is that going to send to your fans? Some of them will be ecstatic. Others will be, well, why are they doing that? He's paid so much money. How are they going to fill that void? Yeah, you free up the cap space, but with what? What are you going to fill that with? Are you going to trade? Not you, but Well, you might be able to do it one day, Fab, but maybe not right now. But how are you going to fill that void? What's going to go in the cap space that gets freed?
That's a very good point.
Who
do you throw in there right now? I don't know if there's anyone in the AHL that is NHL ready, for example.
Well, besides that point, how else? Let's just say it is Jason Blake, and you have a $4 million cap hit, and you put him into the minors. Now you have a $4 million hole. What are you going to fill that hole with? There's nobody making $4 million on the Marlies. So does that mean that they're going to go out and trade more assets just to get an asset to fill the void? It's ludicrous. Most of the time, I find that demotions are basically spurred on by the dislike of players by fans. In a complete hockey world, it doesn't happen. It's simply not feasible to bury money like that.
True.
Okay? True. So I think that the demotion scenario has been overplayed. It's a shame that the Leafs organization actually made that comment about burying contracts on the minors if they really had to. I think that might have been a
scare tactic than anything else.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Fab.
I don't think that they would go as far as demoting a guy like Jason Blake or Thomas Cabrera because they're trying to free up space or they're trying to send a message to these guys. Not that Cabrera's playing poorly. Cabrera's playing really well.
Definitely not.
But Jason Blake hasn't really been producing.
That's right.
So maybe the solution is to do what they did with Nick Hagman. Bench him for a game or two and look at what happened. Look at Hagman. Hagman sat for a game or two. All of a sudden, you see a fire in his ass. And look, now the guy's got 5 goals in 5 games. 5 teams are interested in trading for him. I don't know what they're going to get in return. Right now, apparently, Burke hasn't had a deal that has knocked his socks off. But again, if you light a fire in somebody, they're going to perform. You're going to be rewarded.
That's
right. Same thing has to happen with Jason Blake. Okay, you know what? They said, all right, they're going to throw you on the first line. We're going to put you with Phil Kessel. We're going to put you with our top line forward. Let's see what you can do with him. They've developed some chemistry over the past number of games, but the production still isn't there for Jason Blake. So what do you do? Again, you can't bury him in the minors. That's $4.5 million sitting in the Marlies. No, it is, like you said, it's ludicrous.
It's not going
to
make...
It doesn't make any sense to do something like that. So your best bet, to sit him. But as far as the motion is concerned, putting your high-priced talent in the minors just does not work.
It's just not going to happen. So I think just to end all of this, anything that happens should have a futuristic outlook. As long as these deals, and the one thing about the Kessel deal was the misconception, as I had written, that they made the deal to make the playoffs or to solidify making the playoffs, because that's not the case. The case is it was a future-looking transaction first that augmented Burke's vision of trying to make the playoffs.
Right.
This season is all about playing out the remnants of Maple Leafs past. And this is the season and last season where we saw these changes being made. Everything moving forward has a purpose. Even before that first signing of the Komisariks and the trading of Cabinas and all of that, that was clearly defined. And then the Kessel deal just happened to augment that, sped it up a little bit. Maybe even heard it, if you really want to take the draft picks into consideration. I don't, but that's another issue. And I think what we should do is just, everybody should just play out this year. Burke couldn't go into the season, you know, telling his season ticket holders that, well, you know, we might not make the playoffs this year. No, you beat the drum. You beat the drum and you make sure.
You say, yes, we got a very good chance.
That's it.
At least he didn't pull off a Paul Maurice and said, we're going to make the playoffs.
Okay, well, on that note, thanks for listening to the first segment. We will be right back with our Tyrannosaurus Rex in this abbreviated version of Stickwork. Stay tuned.
Back to Stick Work with Fab and Katz. It's Tyrannosaurus Rex time. Gus, we're going to start with you.
You thought I was going to give Carl Gunnarsson the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, we talked about that off the air. But
yeah, but that's not how it's going to be.
So Fab, who's it going to be?
I tricked you. I tricked you, Fab.
You fooled me. And you know what? Mind you, it's not easy to fool me. I'm pretty much an idiot.
Moving on. High-end offensive players get these type of awards. I'm going with the defensive guy, and I'm going with Francois Beauchemin.
Okay. Explain your rationale behind that.
I think that Beauchemin has definitely improved since the beginning of play. Over the last week, I think that he was one of the the biggest factors in the Islanders game. I got to see him nice up and close being, and you were there as well.
Yeah, Fab. I got to see him behind the net.
He was also one of the better players against the Lightning. He made a fantastic diving poke check to take away a breakaway opportunity from Ryan Malone. He's played much better on the point. He's solidified it. So, Francois Beauchemin, you're my Tyrannosaurus Rex this week.
Well, I'm going to go the conventional route. I am going to take that offensive player that you alluded to earlier. I am going to take Nick the Stick Hagman.
And the Finn gets his recognition.
Finn gets his recognition from the Canadian guy. Yes, he does. And I'll tell you why. 5 goals in the last 5 games. Since his benching, he has been on an absolute tear. He's leading the Leafs with 11 goals right now. And his play has sparked a lot of interest. In fact, there are 5 teams that have made a pitch for Nick Hagman. Don't know who the teams are, but the fact that 5 teams are interested in him is a testament to how well he's been playing. So, with that in mind, Nick the Stick, Hagman, my Tyrannosaurus Rex.
No, I like your thinking on that. I like how things have kind of developed with him, although I think that this 5-team and teams knocking on Burke's door, I'm sure that there were teams always inquiring about
right.
Hagman. And I've always considered him to be the best, or one of the best, scoring checkers in the league. Watch what he does with the puck. He's
right.
better doing things on his own, more individualistic. Mm-hmm. You see it with some of the highlight reel goals that he scores.
Yep.
And he's got amazing puck recovery skills where he'll lose it for a second and recover. Those are our Tyrannosaurus Rexes for this week.
In fact, that's the end of the show.
Thank you very much for joining us. Next week, we will have a couple of surprise guests.
Yes, but we're going to keep that as a surprise for next week. Guys, bottom line is this. Tune in next week, and you're going to find out what we're talking about. Have yourselves a good one. See you next week.